Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christian Fellowship Church Belfast. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CFC, please visit our website at thisiscfc.com.
Brilliant. Forgive me if I'm a bit gruff this morning. I've had a cold, not man flu, I've just had a cold all week. So I'm a little bit gruff, but it's good. We can talk about prayer this morning. Prayer's always been a funny one for me, in that whenever I've been to, I heard a talk on prayer, been to a prayer conference, read a book on prayer, my general overwhelming sense afterwards is a feeling like I am so not spiritual. I am really underpowered and fairly inadequate in any way, because I don't wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and pray for 3 hours and say things like, well, you know, I've got so much to do today, I have to spend the first 3 hours in prayer, don't you? No. And I want to whack people in the face to say that to me. Anyone ever felt like that, reading a book on prayer or anything around prayer? Just me? Okay, let's just check something. Everyone just do this for a moment. Just do that. Everyone just do this. Just to check your shoulders are working. Right, everyone do this. Right, put your hands down. Anyone else felt inadequate around prayer? Sometimes they're like, okay, just checking, I'm in the right room. Otherwise, you lot can all preach. So I've had this thing around prayer of just, like, how does it work? What is the deal? If God knows everything all the time anyway, why on earth does he need me to get involved with him? What is the deal? And I think sometimes the way we've talked about prayer, heard prayer, it's almost like the onus is on us to do stuff and achieve stuff. And I think sometimes the kind of power dynamic, if you like, has slipped a little bit into our favor. It's like, so we need to pray. And if we don't pray, things don't happen. And I kind of get where that's coming from. But like, when you understand that the person I'm praying to said, let there be light, and the universe exploded into existence and, you know, raised people from the dead with words, it's like, how much help can I really be to him? It's like when you're making a cake with a four-year-old. And when you're making a cake with a four-year-old, the four-year-old is not a help, right? They're just not. It takes longer, it's messier, and the end result is not as good as if you did it on your own. However, it is more fun, as long as you get through the fact that it's going to take longer, be messier, not taste as good. It is way more fun. And I feel like that's the way God deals with us in prayer. It's like, God could do it better on his own. He really could. We are a hindrance to him. And yet he loves us and includes us and wants us in this journey of prayer. So what is it? How does it even work? What does it look like? And what I don't want to do today is, I feel like what I received a lot of in the teaching of prayer over the years is, people would tell me how they pray. They would give me a form. They would give me their way of doing it and expect it to work for me as well as it worked for them, which is crazy for me, because God is, he, like, every single one of us is different. And the way you relate to the Father is very different to the way that I relate to the Father and the way the person next to you relates to the Father. And that's good and that's right, because you're all created to be different. So the way I pray is going to be different to the way you pray. Some of you love getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and spending an hour in contemplation and silence before you need coffee. Some of you like that. Some of you don't like speaking to people before 9 o'clock in the morning and, like, want to hurt people that speak to you before 9 o'clock in the morning, okay? Amen, Jesus. Some of you like praying in the evening. Some of you like sitting down for 2 hours and praying is like, and like praying continually for 2 hours is a joy to you. Other people, it's like sticking pins in your eyes if we ask you to do that. My general prayer, I want to say prayer life, more like prayer ramblings, like kind of meandering through life, is a general monologue, dialogue throughout my day, trying to figure out what on earth is going on in the world. That's what my prayer looks like. Your prayer may look different, and that's okay. And we need to create space in the church where you can be different, I can be different. But what I want to hopefully give you today is four kind of guideposts, if you like, that will help you as you discover what prayer looks like for you. And I really urge you to go on a journey with this. Go on a journey of discovery of what prayer looks like, how, because ultimately prayer is about a connection with the Father. It's about a relationship with God. It's about me understanding him and me understanding myself through him and that whole kind of journey. So let's have a look and see. Well, that's gone off. So we've got me a screen. Why pray? Good question. If God knows everything and God is all powerful, why pray? To clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of the world. Anyone ever looked at, I mentioned it this morning, everyone looked at the news, heard the stories and just gone, dear God, like I'm done with the world. Anyone ever had that moment? To clasp the hands in the prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of the world. The world is disordered. It is disordered. Like there seems to be, and I don't know if it's because I'm getting older and grumpier or, but I don't know, but the world seems to be spinning more and more and more out of control. Maybe every generation thinks that, I don't know, but it feels like that. It feels like there is more problems, more difficulties, more complexity, there's more stuff going on. So prayer is this uprising against the disorder. What prayer is, the beginning of prayer is me coming to Almighty God and acknowledging that you're God and I'm not. And I'm looking at the news and I'm hearing what's going on and I have no answers to what's going on. I don't know how to fix that. I don't know how to fix a potential conflict with Iran. I don't know what to do about the nuclear problems in North Korea. I don't know how to fix the environmental catastrophe that seems to be unleashed on the planet by humanity. I don't know how to deal with racial injustice and just the massiveness of the problems of the world. But you know what? You do. And me praying is me acknowledging that actually there is a God of the universe who calls me to pray and he has the answers to all of this stuff going on in the world. There's a reason the old saints prayed on their knees, because they prayed on their knees as the acknowledgement that you're God and I'm not. And I'm not helpless and I am not hopeless, but I am coming to the one that has all the answers. So ultimately, prayer is about this uprising and disorder of the world. It's also, I love this, Martin Luther, the less I pray, the harder it gets. The more I pray, the better it goes. Like purely for a selfish motive, my life's better when I pray. Like purely, if that was my only motivation for prayer, so be it. I want my life to go better, so I'm going to pray and get a God of the universe involved in what is going on. So how do I pray? This is what I want to talk about. So I've got four things that hopefully will give you a guidepost, hopefully will help you as you kind of meander this thing that we call prayer, this connection, this relationship, this conversation with Almighty God. So first thing that I do when I pray is I pray the will of God, which is a very pompous thing to say, because I know the will of God clearly, because I am a pastor and we automatically know the will of God. Anyone ever struggled with the will of God? Anyone ever struggled with like, what do I do with my life? What is your plan? What is going on? You and me both. So how on earth do we know the will of God to pray the will of God? Because this is what Jesus says, right? Go on that one. He says this. Oh, go back. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Anything. Okay. In the name of Jesus, I would like a Ferrari. Actually, I wouldn't like a Ferrari because they're a nightmare to drive. And I can't get into them exactly. Yeah, it's stiff knees nowadays, isn't it? Bad back. So don't actually, realistically, I don't want a Ferrari. Alfa Romeo. That's what I'd like. In the name of Jesus, Alfa Romeo. But it says, where is it on the screens? If you ask anything in my name, then what does it say? If you ask you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it for you. Alfa Romeo. In the name, do you know what? I had a genuine conversation with people a number of years ago, two young ladies, beautiful people, that believed, they said to me, you have to finish every prayer in the name, with saying the words, in the name of Jesus, because of this verse. Because if you don't say the words, in the name of Jesus, then the prayer doesn't work. I was a bit confused at first, and I thought, and I was like, it's not Harry Potter, right? Prayer is not Harry Potter. It's not like you have to say Wingardium Leviosa or something, whatever it is, in Hermione's accent. The proper Christians, no idea what I'm talking about here. But those of you who secretly read Harry Potter and watched films know what I mean. It's like you don't have to get the tonality right for the prayer to be answered. That's not what he's talking about. The idea of in the name of Jesus is in like is the character and the nature of who he is. So what this verse has been come to mean is me going, right, I want an Alfa Romeo. And if God doesn't give me an Alfa Romeo today, then what that means is I haven't got enough faith. Anyone ever heard this? So then I have to build up my faith. And the way I build up my faith is I get a photograph of an Alfa Romeo and I stick it on my fridge. And I get very specific with my Alfa Romeo requests. So I want an Alfa Romeo Giulia with preferably cloverleaf in Alfa Red. So I stick that. And every day I walk past my fridge and I say, I claim it in the name of Jesus. Right? Anyone ever heard this? What a load of garbage. Like, dear Lord, deliver me from nonsense. Right? This is not what it's talking about. Okay? It's not talking about like just sticking the name of Jesus onto any prayer and therefore having everything you want, basically satisfying all my lusts because I stick in the name of Jesus on the end of every prayer. That's not what it's talking about. But it is talking about what is the heart and the will of God. So the way I discover the heart and the will of God is simply by reading my Bible and looking at the prayers that Jesus prayed and looking at the prayers that Jesus told us to pray and looking at the prayers the New Testament church prayed. So for instance, the main prayer that Jesus told us to pray is the Lord's Prayer. So if you want to know what the will of God is, go to the Lord's Prayer. Because he said, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. So the will of God is that his kingdom comes. Everywhere. So the will of God is that his kingdom comes into your life, into your marriage, into your kids, your family, your finances, your work, your nation, the planet, the environment, everywhere he goes. The will of God is that the kingdom, his kingdom comes and that his will is done. So if you want a great place to start with prayer, pray that God's kingdom would come everywhere. Pray that you would receive his daily bread. That actually God's will is to meet your daily needs. That's the will of God for you. That he would lead you not into temptation, but deliver you from evil. So there's all those prayers you can pray. There's another great prayer where Jesus sees these Samaritans coming out of this village to come and hear the gospel. And he grabs his disciples and says, look at all these people that are hungry to hear truth. They're hungry to meet me. And he said, the issue is not how many people want to hear me. He said, the issue is not the harvest. The issue is how many people will go. So here's what you need to do. You need to pray to the God of the harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into the harvest field. You want a biblical prayer to pray on a daily basis? Pray that God would send laborers into the harvest field. He would send laborers into West Belfast and North Belfast and East and South Belfast, into Bangor and Cumber and Newcastle and Larne and Galway and Sligo and Limerick. That God would send laborers into India and Myanmar and Ibiza. That God would continually send laborers into the harvest field. That God would send you into the harvest field. Continually, that's one of the prayers of the will of God. There's other great prayers you can read through. Paul was praying in the beginning of the book of Ephesians. Paul prays that he prays that you would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you might know God. That you might know God. One of his God's will, the will of God for your life is that you would know him. That you would know the hope to which you've been called, and you would know the exceeding greatness of the power that works within you. But to do that, you're going to have to read your Bible. And you're going to have to go and look through it and scan it and find out what the will of God is, what the prayers are that Jesus prayed. But if you want to know what the will of God, if you want prayer, if you want to answer this verse, pray anything in my name, go and find the prayers that Jesus prayed. Go and find the prayers that his people prayed. Let me just give this a caveat, however. Not every prayer in the Bible is a prayer that Jesus prayed or a prayer that he tells you to pray. For instance, James and John came to Jesus and said, we'd like to call down fire from heaven and completely annihilate a Samaritan village because they've offended us. Is that okay? Right? Just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean it's the will of God. Right? You have to read it in its context because Jesus said, you muppets. No, he didn't say that. It was a Hebrew. If you go into the original Hebrew, he basically says, you muppets. He says, no, that's not what we're about and what we're about to do. So it means you have to go and read, which is why we're in community and why you're in a connect group. The reason you're in a connect group, because you go, I read this in the Bible that I can call down fire from heaven and destroy people. I read that Elijah was insulted for being bald, so he prayed and a bear came out of the wilderness and killed a load of kids. And there's some really annoying kids on my street. Can I pray that the bear comes and eats them? Well, No, but why? So that's why we're in community and connect group, to have those kind of conversations. And yes, that is genuinely in the Bible. Promise you. Not making it up. All right, is that cool? Yeah. Will of God. He either tells us a prayer or he prays a prayer. Here's a great one. John 17. Jesus prayed this. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, to the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. The will of God is that you are one. We are unified as one. Not just CFC, but CFC and the church down the road and the next church down the road and the church in India and Myanmar and America and Australia and Russia, that we'd all be one. Look at the person next to you. Look at the person across the aisle. God's prayer is that you be one. You love this one. Prayers need to be, my prayers are now short. Okay? Short prayers. Here's why. Martin Luther says this, the fewer the words, the better the prayer. The Lord's Prayer is 66 words. I've been in prayer meetings where people introduce themselves to God in more than 66 words. Like God's never met them before. He knows who you are. It's okay. 66 words, short prayers. Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus healed a leper. The leper came to Jesus, kneeled down to Jesus and said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus said, I am willing, be clean. 5 words, completely changed the man's life. You don't need long prayers. Here's what long prayers do. We pray long prayers. This is why I pray long prayers. Let me say this. The reason I pray long prayers is short prayers feel inadequate. They don't feel very powerful. They feel like I need to say some more because maybe God hasn't got the message. And maybe I'm saying it wrong. So I need to say it longer. If I really, really want to go for it, I'm going to break out the King James. And I'm going to, I beseech thee, my Father. Because that's proper spiritual. And I start using words to try and engage with God. I start using my words, my language, the way I phrase things, because I want to make sure I'm praying the will of God and that I've got God's attention. Can we just like wise up to that? He's your Father who loves you. And you're not trying to convince him. Prayer is not a persuasion act. It's not. You're not trying to persuade God to move. You're not trying to convince God to move. If you pray the will of God, God doesn't need any more convincing to move. If you pray God for laborers in the harvest field, you don't need to convince him why you need laborers. He knows. He knows more than we do. We just need to pray. We need to pray and leave it. Which is difficult because if you pray and leave it, if you pray, Lord, send laborers into the harvest field, full stop, you're a bit like, well, that was a short prayer meeting. What do we do now? I feel a bit inadequate. I feel like the people around me are watching me and want me to pray a long, eloquent prayer so they realize how spiritual I am. So maybe I should pray something. No, 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 don't do that. You're not trying to convince God. You're not trying to bow. Jesus actually says this. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners in synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that's all the reward they'll ever get. But when you pray, go away, shut yourself in the door behind you and pray to the Father in private. Then your Father sees everything, will reward you. The Father knows what you want. He knows what you're interested in. He knows what's going on. All you've got to do is pray a short prayer. Get it out. Here's what I now do to stop myself praying long prayers and getting carried away with myself. I pray a prayer. I push forward, stop. And then I go to worship. Because the reason I continue to pray long prayers is I start to panic about the power and the inadequacy of my prayers. But in worship, I remind myself who my God is. So, Lord, send laborers into the harvest field. Now I'm going to step back. And I'm going to sing Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness. And it reminds me who my prayer is. It reminds me where my prayer has gone. It remind me what's happened. Remind me who now holds my prayer. So then actually all I have to do is pray the short prayer. Regularly, continually pray the short prayer. Next one. Go on. Care about it. You have to actually be interested in the thing you're going to pray about. Beth Moore says this, there are parts of our calling, works of the Holy Spirit and defeats of the darkness that will come no other way than through furious, fervent, faith-filled, unceasing prayer. If you don't care about the prayer you're going to pray, and let's face it, I don't know about you, but I have prayed prayers I don't care about because people ask me to pray for them. And I'm like, yeah, of course I pray for them. God, you know, do whatever they want. But I've moved on to the next thing. I'm done already and I'm gone. I don't actually care. If I care about something, I am going to continually pray about it. And I'm going to keep praying about it. And I'm going to find out what the will of God is about it. And I'm going to make sure I declare the will of God about that thing over that situation. But if I don't care, I'm not going to bother. James says this when he's writing this letter. He says, oh, where are we? There we go. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. The earnest prayer of a righteous person. Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly, the rain would fall. None fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. Earnest prayer. Question, do you care enough about what you're praying about? You see, when I pray about my family, I care. Every one of my kids at some point has put me on my knees praying to God for them because I care passionately about them. So I will continually pray for that situation. What is it that God is burdening your heart for? What is it that you care about that you can continually pray for? Brings me on to this final point that I want to spend a bit of time on. Continuous. Charles Spurgeon says this: prayer pulls the rope below and the great bell rings above in the ears of God. Some scarcely stir the bell, for they pray so languidly. Others give but an occasional pluck at the rope. But he who wins with heaven is the man who grasps the rope boldly and pulls continuously with all his might. Our call is to be continuous prayers, to continually come before the throne of God and pray and pray and pray and pray. Short prayers, pray the will of God, pray earnestly or passionately or fervently or whatever you want, but pray continually. Jesus tells this parable, which makes me laugh because it's the only parable, I think one of the only parables that I know about, where Jesus tells you what the meaning of the parable is before the thing starts. So Jesus says, one day Jesus told us, go back one, come on. I'm going to put this down. Can you stick that last slide, that last one on for me, please? But thanks. One Jesus day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show they should always pray and never give up. He told you up front, this story I'm telling you is to show you that you should pray and never give up. Everybody got that? You should pray and never give up. Now I'm going to tell you a story to explain it a little bit more. Jesus saying, there was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Can you flip over, please? And then the Lord said, learn a lesson from the unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? So Jesus starts the story by saying, I'm going to tell you a story to show that you should pray and never quit. Then he finishes the story saying, the Son of Man is coming back. Will he find faith? His idea of faith is people that pray and never, ever stop. They never stop. Here's the thing about praying. My big brother, 6.5 years older than me, is. When I was 20, I made a decision to really follow Jesus with my life. My big brother wasn't following Jesus at all. So I started praying for him at 20. Now, when I mean praying, I mean there were good days and bad days and good months and bad months. Some months I'd pray every day, some months would go by and I wouldn't even think of him because he was annoying me. So I'd just ignore him, right? But for 16 years, I prayed for him. And finally, when I was 36, he made a decision to follow Jesus. So I had to pray for him for 16 years for him to finally come to faith. My mum was actually praying much longer for him to come to faith. But 16 years, I prayed continually and didn't give up. Now, I don't know why it took 16 years. It's not up to me to figure out why it took 16 years. I'm not here to try and circumnavigate the system, try and short circuit it so I can bring it down even quicker and maybe I can get my results in 5 years. That's not what this is about. What this is about is I am going to pray continually until I get the results. Well, how long will it take? I don't know, but it doesn't matter. But I'm going to pray continually. The point of this is to pray continually until it gets results. Why? Honestly, I don't fully know. And the Bible doesn't fully tell us. All it tells us is pray continuously. Pray continuously. But why? Because there's stuff going on in the world that we don't know about. The best picture that we've got is a story in Daniel. If you want a bit of fun summer reading, go and read Daniel. It's a real giggle. But there's a bit in Daniel when Daniel needs a revelation. He needs an answer on something. So he starts praying. 40 days he's praying for this revelation. Nothing happened. On the 40th day, an angel comes to visit him, which is pretty cool. Angel comes to visit him and gives him the answer to the prayer. And the angel says this. He says, I left heaven the moment you started praying. So he started praying 40 days ago. He said the angel left heaven 40 days ago. It took him 40 days to get to Daniel. The only explanation we have for that is the angel says, I was held up by this prince, essentially, basically by a demonic force, held the angel up and stopped the angel coming through to Daniel. Now, do not go down the rabbit warren with that and into, ooh, what does that mean? That sounds cool. No, don't do that. That's not the point. The point of the story is to say, keep praying, because the answer's already left. Isn't that amazing? The answer's already on its way. So when I started praying for my brother, the answer was always on the way. It was always on the way. I don't have to convince God to move on his will. He's already moving on his will. What I have to do is hold my ground. What I have to do is never, ever stop. What I have to do is daily come to him, daily pray. Not a long prayer, but daily. Like, we want laborers for the harvest field. God, there are people in North Belfast that need Jesus. So I need laborers for the harvest field. God, would you send out laborers for the harvest field? Full stop. That's the only prayer. Tomorrow I pray the same prayer. God, would you send out laborers into North Belfast? Or whatever it is you're praying for. God, will you give me a revelation of how much you love me? Every single day, that is my prayer. God, I need your wisdom. God, I need your wisdom. God, will you give me wisdom? Because it's the will of God. James says, anyone who lacks wisdom, let him come to God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. So God will give you wisdom if you ask. You just have to come and ask. Every day he gives me wisdom. Every day come for revelation. Whatever it is you're praying for, it is a daily come before God every single day and never quit. The question is, what do you want to see God do in your life? What do you want to see him do? Do you want to see him reach your kids? It is the will of God that every single person come to know him. It is the absolute will of God that your kids are saved. Absolute categorical will of God. So you can absolutely categorically in faith pray every single day for your kids' salvation. Totally. It is absolutely categorically the will of God that there is peace in this land. Absolutely categorically peace. Absolutely. So you can pray that every single day. It is God. Here's a great one for you. It is absolutely categorically God's will that you prosper. Categorically. Doesn't mean everyone's driving a Ferrari. They're death traps, really. Anyway, Alfa Romeos. But John's third letter, he says, brother, he prays and says, well, when I pray for you, I pray this. I pray that you prosper and that you be in health even as your soul prospers. It is absolutely categorically God's will that you prosper. So you can pray that you would prosper. It's not selfish. It is not ungodly. It is totally the will of God. Absolutely. So you can pray that. The question is, what are you going to pray about that you're never going to stop? Doesn't matter. It takes 10 years, 20 years. I am never going to stop. I'm not going to quit on this. Whatever it is, I'm not going to quit on my kids. I'm not going to quit on my marriage. I'm not going to quit on this life of following Jesus. I'm simply not going to quit. So if you can do those four things, whether you pray in the morning or pray in the evening is irrelevant. Whether you pray for 3 hours in one go, whether you pray continually throughout the day, whether you go into a small place and shut the door, or you walk on a mountain or walk by the beach, whether you pray moving around or you pray sitting still, whether you journal or don't journal, whether you like pray in King James English or you pray in the Message English, it does not matter. It does not matter. But if you pray the will of God, pray short prayers just because it's way better for you. Pray with passion and never, ever, 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 ever quit, you'll see the results that you want to see. Can we have the worship band back up? I just want to do something before we go. I did this in the first service and I want to do it here as well before we finish. I had a sense just in today as we were getting ready that there are prayers that have been prayed over the years and for whatever reason we've stopped praying them. We've kind of quit. There's a really interesting proverb that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And this idea that hope that's put off or hope that never comes to pass actually ends up damaging our heart. But I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to breathe life into those prayers again. The things in your heart. It might be a child that's wandered off from God. It might be a marriage that's in trouble. It might be a business that's in trouble. It might be a dream that you had in your heart, a relationship that needs restoring. It might be something. I had a relationship that got trashed. External circumstances came in and trashed the relationship. And it took 2 years of prayer and going to God for God to restore that relationship. But he's restored the relationship. God is a restorer. God is a healer. God is a redeemer. He can do all those things. The question is, Are we going to dig in? Are we going to pray continuously? So I just want to pray. Can we take a moment? Why don't you just close your eyes and bow your head with me? I'm just going to come and ask the Holy Spirit if there's a prayer that you've let go, that you need to pick back up again. So Holy Spirit, will you come and speak to us now? Come and speak to everybody here. And if there's a prayer that we have let go, if there's something that we need to bring continuously before you again, I pray that you'd just give us a nudge and remind us again. And then will you give us an infusion of boldness that we would pray boldly those prayers again. I want to pray for something else as well. I did this in the first service, and kind of in between the service, I just had a sense as well. There are people here that kids are not walking with God at the moment. And I feel like somebody in this room, that is the enemy has brought shame onto you because of that. And he's trying to get you to shut up, back off out of shame. And he's using shame as a way to shut your prayers down. And I'm here this afternoon to tell you, there is no shame in this. Shame is an absolute weapon of the enemy. Your children have made their own decisions. And yes, you were not the perfect parent. Yet you absolutely were. And there's things that you did that you would do differently if you could. And the enemy is using that against you to make you feel guilty and make you feel ashamed. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Father, we come against shame. Father, we want to break its power today. Father, I pray for anyone here that feels shame, that you would show them the truth of your love for them or your love for their kids. If you've got children that are not walking with God and you want us to pray for them, you want to continue to pray that again, or you've got loved ones that are not walking with God, I just want to invite you to stand. I want to pray for you, a bit of boldness for you. Why don't you jump to your feet? Okay. Just a moment. Just look around the room for a moment. Right. There is no shame in this guy. This is the enemy who will try and shut you lot down. And he's going to try and shut your prayers down. He's going to try and tell you it's hopeless. He's going to try and tell you there is no way they're coming back. He's trying to tell you they're too far gone. He's going to try and tell you that it was your fault and your mistake. I want to tell you that everything I've just said is a total lie. And here's the truth of God. The truth of God is that he wants everybody saved, that he is calling his children home. And the truth of God is there is no one, there is absolutely no one beyond his power, not one person beyond his power. It doesn't matter where your child is, where your loved one is right now. They could be on the furthest flung parts of the planet in the worst situation possible. The amazing truth of God is that God is with them right now. And he's never let them go. He has never abandoned them. And he's never ignorant. And actually, the power of God, right where they are, can call them back. So here's what I want to pray. We're going to pray the prodigal son prayer. The prodigal son in the pig pen, it says there was a moment where he came to himself. He had a revelation. He had a wake up moment of, my father's house is better than this mess. And that's the prayer we're going to pray for all of these loved ones, that they will have a revelation that their father's house is better. And we're going to pray this prayer continually. I'm going to pray it continually for all of you. And this is why we're in community together, so we can pray for each other, that we can stand for each other. You are not on your own going through this. So if you're not standing up, I want you to stretch out your hands towards the people who are standing. Let's lift them in prayer. Father, we pray for every loved one represented here, every child. Father, every spouse, every parent that is far from you, that are in that pig pen. I pray this morning that they would have a revelation. That they would have a revelation that their father's house is better. Yeah. Father, that you would birth that in them. And I pray for everybody standing that they would have a renewed sense of boldness and strength and a sheer bloody-mindedness, tenacity that will not back off this promise. They will not back off the promise of household salvation. They will not back off the promise that you want your kids back and you're doing everything about it, God. They will not back off. I pray for that Holy Spirit fire in each of them, God, that they will be tenacious. I pray for our community, God, that we would be one, that we would be one and stand with all of these people and pray with them daily and lift up these children. Father, we call the prodigals home. Father, let this be a house though there are no big brothers, but we just represent the heart of the Father that the prodigals can come home and be welcomed. In Jesus' name, why don't you stand for me for a moment? We're going to worship for a moment.
You have been listening to the weekly podcast from CFC Belfast. To find out more, please check out our website at thisiscfc.com.